second of all, spending some time in the Golden Rule. And what I've found interesting about the material so far is that I've found a platform to stand on in order to be able to study. And I thought of our condition today. Every time we come in, I try to have something reminding me of our church's mission statement. The mission statement is that whoever gathers with us shall not go away lacking the grace of God, will not miss the grace of God. described in one way and the bad gets described in another. The fact is, Rabbi Joseph Lewinsky in his words, in his book Words That Hurt and Words That Heal, says this: the fact is that most of us in a willing ear are bad guests and often disloyal friends. All we need is a willing ear. All we need is somebody to listen to us. It is infinitely more interesting to look for others' flaws than to praise their good qualities. Gossip, or the impulse to be the bad guest, directly violates our call to live doing unto others. Now, one amen. The last thing was just a general overview. Everyone was like, hey, yeah, all right. Now we're going to get picked on, and nobody's going to get in our room. Sometimes Jesus has to mess with us. He has to meddle in our lives. So we said this, Leviticus 19, and this is why we were reading this. Again, tough passage. Last week, we gave our scripture reading, which contains the book of James. And Leviticus is not that inspiring of a reading, but except this one verse that we'll share with us, you shall not take vengeance to bear a grudge against any of your people, but you shall what? You shall love your neighbor as yourself. We've already concluded that that law right there is where we get the golden rule from. Jesus rethinking, if you will, of that law itself. And that law probably is the Bible's most famous law. I told you, you look up the Wikipedia and you're on the golden rule, which is excellent, by the way. Even it begins with this right here. It is the one law that most everybody knows. Believer, non-believer, Jew, Gentile, Christian, non-Christian, they know this law. And they know it because of what Jesus did with it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. This is our ethical foundation. This is the foundation of the golden rule. But did you notice something? 2 verses before the Bible's most famous law, just 2 verses before, which puts it in the same passage, which puts it in the same spot of Moses and of Jesus, it says this: you shall not go around as a slanderer among your people. You shall not profit by the blood of your neighbor. I am the Lord. Now, the King James Version might help just a little bit more here, because slander is specific. And I'll tell you what I mean in just a minute. Slander is a specific type of gossip, is it not? It's a specific one. But actually, the word in Hebrew, the King James Version helps us better. Thou shalt not go up and down as a tale bearer. The modern versions are trying to get a bit more complicated than they have to be. Talebearer is a much simpler word. Talebearer, which can mean slander, but not necessarily, what it means technically is an informer. A talebearer is an informer. It's church, not much elaboration. Talebearer. What do you think talebearer is? The word's only used 6 times in all of Scripture. 2 of those times are in these verses right here. 2 Proverbs contain the verse 7. It says, he who goes about as a talebearer reveals what? Reveals secrets. But he who is trustworthy conceals a matter. So a talebearer tells what? although it appeared in the article I'm admitting, 43 years old, was clearly the least uncovered to plot. The teacher had been substituted for about 4 weeks, apparently had difficulty with the class his first day at the elementary school, and sent the students to the office. The child offered 9 girls and a boy $1 apiece to report that the teacher had fallen. The county state's attorney got the complaint May 9th. Investigators interviewed 14 children the next day, and by the end of the day, we knew that every allegation was false. The teacher called the reason it's a nightmare. A lot of people were willing to crucify him. And he probably asked the question afterwards, at least in this community, and here in the USA Today, which goes where? Everywhere. You probably have to ask what that man we talked about last week, where and where do I get my reputation then? So slander is the easiest to spot. It is the no-brainer of gossip. Would you say it or not say it? Clear violation of the golden rule. Right? Okay. Let's move on. Let's listen, start to know what it's like. Okay. The next category is a chop pop. Now, there we go again. A chop pop up. Rock, okay? Negative truths. Okay? Something negative, defamatory. It's going to hurt somebody. It's going to hurt somebody's reputation. But what? It's true. Now hold on here. Is it okay to do it if it's what? If it's true. Most of us think there's nothing morally wrong about spreading negative information as long as it's what? As long as it's true. But I want to ask you about what we're saying. Do unto others. If you enjoy the way to spread your negative truth, bless the person whom you are speaking absolutely needs the information. Many ethicists have struggled with this. Swiss theologian and poet Jonathan P. Levetter offers an apt guideline. He says this: never tell evil of man if you do not know for a certainty. We should never do that. And then it says, and if you know for a certainty, then ask yourself, why should I tell it? See, once we find out it's true, then we just move on. It's okay. It's true. First of all, I don't know. But we do, we just move on. We think it's morally okay because it's true. So we ask, can we spread information that may be negative and true? Does the Bible address this issue at all? Sure it does. In our very passage, it says you shall not say what? Vengeance or bear a grudge against any of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as your what? As yourself. Much to do with your intention. You ask, it is negative, it is true. Why am I spreading? Why do I need to tell somebody? Do I have some sort of vengeance? Do I have some sort of grudge? Do I have something against this person that would allow me to transgress a biblically ethical foundation? All because it's true. But we know that Jesus commented on the passage. He said, in just a few things. No. In what? Everything, which would include negative truths about people. Do what? Do unto them as you would want done unto you. So the question that we ask, is there an episode in your life? Think of one right now that maybe only one person knows, or maybe nobody knows, that would truly hurt you if you knew about 3 or 4 people in the church right now who knew about because somebody told them. How many can do that? I can. In most cases, I don't have anything more, but in most cases, even if it's true, it still can be slandered. And in my life, it's an open rule. Because we wouldn't want it done about us, would you? That thing you just thought of? No. So why would we do it with them? want to, but to live within it. Never have a room. And don't listen to one. So a clear guideline, according to the rabbis, was if it's as clear as the fact that your sister is forbidden to you as a wife, only then do you say it. And only then after you ask the question, should I? Guideline number one. Guideline number two. Only ethics would dictate for you to pass it along to somebody who you directly help. If someone is wrong, then pass it on, but only to somebody who can help. And limiting itself to that too. It says, don't go around as a sniper and tell your other people, you shall not profit by the blood of your neighbor, I am the Lord. Another way to put that, another way to look at it is, you don't stand by while the blood of your neighbor is shed. You get what Moses is saying? You don't stand by. So if we have to pass on something negative about something wrong, it has to be passed on in order to truly help. I'll complete with you right now and give you a confession. Is that this is where most pastors fail, and this is where church leadership fails. See, sometimes pastors and elders, we get together and we start talking about these things about somebody, and we're trying to find out if it's true or not, and we violate the four of these, all under the guise of leadership. And I bet you've served on a couple of nominating committees who violated them too, okay? So we only have to talk to somebody who could. Especially when it comes to an allegation like those kids come to pass it on. Because if for some reason it comes across, especially with today's day and age, if that's true, somebody has to know, or somebody can get hurt, a kid can get hurt. The question we ask is how many other people did that person tell before they finally went to somebody? So it goes on to say that you can show approved your neighbor, or you will incur guilt yourself. It needs to be reproved, it needs to be honest. But do you understand how safe it is now, how much safer it is now, if we can look at the other guidelines? In other words, if it truly is bad enough that you are moved, then you should be able to go to somebody yourself. Don't come to me first. Most of the church goes to the pastor first. Why? Because somehow they've been trained to do something about this, right? But when they do, they go to the person, not to the person. What have they done? I told you you didn't mention it today, didn't I? You want to move on to number three? If this one didn't befuddle us enough, wait till you get to number three. There is a third category of God, which maybe not as solid as biblical evidence as we've been down before, but there is a third category of God, and it happens more if you think about it. While we think about it, that is more. And that third area of God is positive truth. Non-mandatory, okay? In other words, it's not going to hurt anybody. As a matter of fact, it's positive. And guess what? It happens to be true. It happens to be true. So, yes, I'm saying if you're talking about someone and you're saying good things about them, the Bible declares that as gospel. You know why? Why is this? We messed with this before. I thought it was okay to talk about somebody negatively as long as it was true. He messed with me there, okay? He's taking care of me there. Now, can you tell somebody something good about someone else? Why? This has to be enough, right? It can't be enough. Think about it. Simple, save the life of the president. The entire country is deeply in his debt. Yet the insatiable curiosity of the press and the readers, we have a tendency to blame the press. But I will tell you, the press is quit writing those stories. It